veritas et amor. Ubi caritas Deus ibi est.
Amen.
Amen.
So I had the blessing of preaching here last week, and I posted lots of photos from the chapel to my Instagram and Facebook. Nobody believed it. They saw this image, and they were like, oh, that's just a screen. That can't be a window. But you and I know that there are very few things more real than these craggy cathedral arches in the sky, formed some 10 million years ago. I want to invite you now to pause and just meditate for a minute, 1 minute. And it's, I hope that folk who are on this side, like, feel free to look out and whatever mountain you choose as well. But just take 1 minute and meditate on the glory of God, the mountains. I'm curious, is there a word that comes to mind for you as you gaze upon these mountains? Call it out now.
Glorious.
Glorious.
Grateful.
Gratitude. Majestic.
Blessings.
Blessings.
Comfort.
Comfort. What words come to mind?
Eternal.
Eternal.
Peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Small.
Mm-hmm. Small, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there a word that maybe describes how you feel in relation, and some of these words have already showed up, how meditating on these mountains makes you feel?
Blessed.
Mm-hmm. Blessed.
Grateful.
And grateful.
Humble.
Humble. You know, the word that rises up for me is also humble. And you will get your check at the end of the service. It didn't happen at the 8 o'clock. He's not planned, right? But now, truly, when I gaze at these mountains, I am struck with awe and humility. Whatever I think I've done, whatever I think I know, what is it next to this creation, this power, this abiding eternal truth? Standing in the shadow of a mountain, it ought to make you humble. And that's all right. Because friends, in our world and in our nation today, and yes, among church folk, we could use a healthy dose of humility. Amen.
Amen.
You know, a couple of years ago, the Episcopal Church commissioned a research group to survey Americans about their take on religion and Jesus and the church. And we asked people to choose words that would best describe Christians. Christians who filled out the survey chose words, overwhelmingly, these words: giving, compassionate, loving, respectful. people outside of the church had a very different view of us. They chose overwhelmingly words like hypocritical, judgmental, self-righteous, arrogant. And it's hard to hear that. It's okay to feel a little ouch to think that folk imagine that about Christians. But it's also not that surprising, because there is a strand of Christianity, and really it's present in every faith, so it's not about those Christians. But there's a strand, just maybe even in humanity, that need to be exclusive, that need to be right, that need to be better than the rest. And they might even point to today's gospel as justification. Jesus has just finished teaching yet another tough word. Some folks hear it and walk away. He asks his core group, "Are you leaving too?" And Simon Peter answers, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Passages like this have often been used to justify Christian exclusivity and exceptionalism. If the question is, to whom can we go for a word of life? Well, the instant answer is, there's no one else to whom we could possibly go. Therefore, the only way to God is through Jesus and through the church that declares his name. We've come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Therefore, others now need to believe and know as we do. Jesus alone has the eternal word of life, and he has only given it to his church, and maybe even only to one of the many churches. Mm-hmm. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. So what if we brought humility to that question? What if when Peter says we have come to know, what he means is that we know that God has offered us this particular path closer to God's own heart. And God is so generous, and God's heart for God's children is so huge, that God has provided different paths for other people to find their way home to God as well. Imagine that. It might make me and my church feel less special, less unique, less right, but it doesn't diminish God in the least. Mm-mm. If anything, it makes God bigger than us. And that's the kind of God I could get behind. If you can too, feel free to say amen.
Amen.
All right. It's the God that we see in relationship with Solomon in the reading from 1 Kings. It's the alternate reading for today. No one would ever question Solomon's love and devotion to God. His adoration was so strong that it drove him to build a dwelling place for the holy. And that was a great temple for the great God, outfitted with the most precious stones and the most precious metals on earth. And Solomon knew the truth. He asks, "Will God indeed dwell on earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, God, much less this house that I've built." Humility. "Thank you, God," he is saying, "for deigning to dwell so close to us. Thank you for showing your face in ways that humans can see and ways that we can hear. And may we never forget that nothing we have created, nothing we can see or touch or imagine, not the church, not the sun, not the mountains, not even heaven itself, could ever contain you, God." That is the approach I hope to bring to faith. I may be Episcopal now, but it's not only because this is the right path, or the only path. It's not because we're right and all of those other pathways were somehow wrong. I've committed to Jesus because in him, God has become most real to me. God, when I discovered Christianity at age 28, is when I was baptized. We don't need to talk about how long ago that was. But suddenly in Jesus, God went from being a spirit out there to the spirit moving in me and in people all around me and in the creation. I've seen that devotion, I've seen that holiness in those who follow Jesus, and I have seen it in Hindus, in Buddhists, in Jews, in Muslims. I have seen it in my own Episcopal church, and I have been shaped by the witness and the wisdom and the faithfulness of Pentecostals, Baptists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, and so many others. I know that God is meeting people on many different paths besides the one where God has drawn me. That doesn't diminish the love that I experience with God on this particular path. Jesus even told his disciples, right, that his spirit was bound to move in other places and other ways that they didn't know and didn't have to know. I think that allows us to be deeply in love with him and deeply committed to serving his name and deeply respectful, grateful, celebratory of other pathways. I hope it's helpful for you to hear a priest, someone who has drunk all the Kool-Aid, speaking in this way about faith, saying that God has given us multiple pathways to God's own heart. And it feels especially important for me to offer this witness, to share like this with you now, because we live in a time when it seems like we have lost the ability to allow for multiplicity on any front. My side has to be right. And the only way I know we are right or true is if you are wrong. We do it in our politics. We do it around national identity. And yes, we do it around religion. My God is a jealous God, and he's got to be right. And he's got to know that you're only with him in this way, or he's going to be very, very angry. First of all, that God sounds more like a human than a God. And also, that kind of rigidity and either-or thinking is killing us. And it's alienating us from one another. I don't need exclusivity to prove that what I believe or my relationship with God is special or whole or true. And we don't need someone else to be bad for us to be good. And we don't need somebody else to fail so that we can succeed. Jesus was the one who turned all of those hierarchies and systems upside down. He said, the last will be first, the first will be last. His followers wanted him to ride in to Jerusalem on a mighty steed and cut down his enemies with a sword. Instead, he came in on a donkey and became the very embodiment of radical love and sacrifice. God is love, and love is unselfish. Love does not create conditions for embrace. Love knocks down every wall, every barrier to get to the beloved. So all praise to the God whose love is as big as the mountains and bigger still. All praise to the God whose generosity shines in many lands and on many paths so that all of God's beloved children can find our way home. Amen.
Amen. Amen.